compensation.
I know. I'm just kidding.
What'd he do?
He dribbled. He can't drink anything.
I got
just
a single drip of condensation on my shirt.
Holes in his lips.
Because he just got 146 ice cubes in each
one
of these
covered,
glasses.
Hey. He's covered in his own beverage.
Nick, why don't you get a freaking tent for that circus you got going over?
Yeah, what? Please, thank you.
I'm going to send you a quick Snapchat of the damage on my shirt so you can see how tremendous and gigantic it is. Because it's shocking, truly.
It is. It's just, you know, we can't take them anywhere.
It's like Tiananmen Square aftermath, the Hindenburg, and Nick's shirt.
Yep.
You get my Snapchat? Did you see the carnage?
It's amazing.
It's incredible how much damage there is. It's a single drip, you pretentious fuck. Hit me, Daddy. Put that intro on my face.
Well, welcome back to Scotch and Splenda, guys, the podcast that tastes like The Office and gets you drunk like forming an alliance with your mortal enemy, being trusted with steering the boat, or being confident you are capable of dominating your coworkers with your purple belt, arigato.
Arigato.
with theories, side stories, and what-ifs, we are here at Scotch and Splenda, your co-regional managers. I am AJ.
I am BJ.
I am Nick. It's good to be back.
And on this episode, we are talking all about utilizing every part of the goose with Dwight Schrute in seasons 1 and 2. Excuse me.
This meat has a delicious smoky flavor.
Smoky, rich flavor. And you can then use the rest to make a can of goose grease, right?
To save you a trip to the store for an otherwise expensive can of goose grease.
Yep. Huh, wow, win-win.
Win-win, yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Is that so crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
Apparently, they got attached to the duck. So.
One time, I brought a duck into this. Jeez.
We got to save that. That's not even season 1 and 2.
All right, keep going.
Come on. But hey, guys, first, we need to give you a very quick reminder that while you are here and listening to the show, that you leave us a 5-star review. If you can drop us a fan theory while you're at it, we would love that. We would love to read it here on the show. And of course, you can always leave us a voicemail too. That number is 319-359-7977. What is that number, Nick?
It's 319-359-7977.
He is paying attention. He knows it.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
Yep.
You put me on the spot that one time and I wasn't prepared for it, wasn't thinking of it, felt like a jackass. I'll never forget it again.
There you go.
You can wake me up from a dead sleep by throwing cold water on my face like the CIA and be like, what's the number? Yep. And be like, it's 319-359-7977.
Yep. And then we'd just turn their lights out again and make sure you go back to sleep before we do it again. I think we do have some fan theories and some stuff to cover here. Since we've been gone for a little while, guys, not on purpose, but hey, things happen. Life is a bitter mistress sometimes. Here we are, back and ready again. But I think BJ's got a fan theory for us.
I sure do. Brad emailed in a great fan theory.
All right.
So his theory is Jim is actually just super bad with money. He's worse than Michael. And then he's got a bunch of kind of proof for it. I'll read one
here
to get us started. Then we can kind of discuss, and I'll sprinkle in some of Brad's other proof that
Perfect.
He has.
Okay. I love the research. I love the homework. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So his first one is Jim gets various pranking materials from flea markets and thrift stores because those are the only places he can afford to shop after years of using his disposable income on pranks.
Mm.
Like so the drugstore calculator watch.
Right.
And the rest of the ensemble. Or glasses. Glasses.
Yeah, how much did that outfit cost? It was like $11 or $7.
Yeah.
$11.
Which he does the math on his calculator watch.
Yeah, I had one of those watches when I was a little kid because I was a loser.
I wasn't going to go that far, but okay, since you said it. No, you know what? There's some merit to this because he also, like, about everything he does, Jim does seem like a very frugal person, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that means, like, he's bad with money, but or if it means it could be the opposite here, Brad. Is he good with money? Because he seems like a very frugal person, to be honest. Like, oh, he eats the same, you know, sandwich.
Tuna sandwich every day.
Every day for lunch, as Ryan points out. He
eats a ham and cheese.
Ham and cheese at that point.
When he goes, when he goes to Stanford, he switches to tuna.
Right.
Yeah, he switches to tuna, which is arguably even cheaper than ham.
Bro, I fucking love like, a tuna fish sandwich.
I know, but if he's buying like, you know, he could be buying like grade A, like from a deli case type, you know, ham.
That's true.
And then he switches to canned tuna.
Like, right.
Things are going downhill.
Well, maybe the relo package didn't come through for, you know, Stanford or Scranton, that kind of thing. He's got to go back. I like a tuna sandwich as well.
Did he get?
I love tuna.
You think
sandwich.
He got paid a relo both to move to Stanford and then to move back to Scranton?
I hope so.
Because that's outstanding.
I think he did. I mean, technically, he took a promotion for both, right?
That's true.
That's a good point. Yes, that's like true. He did take a promotion for both.
Can you imagine being the person in accounting that's got to approve that expense, and they're just like, "Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
He's been gone for 6 months.
We're bringing him back. Well,
we just paid to move him into this one.
Well, he's still got to find a new place to live.
Tall motherfucker. Well,
he's tall. We're tall guys.
Tall guys.
Well, he does go on to say when he's buying his parents' house, like, if history teaches us anything, it's that you can't go wrong buying a house you can't afford.
There you go.
That's like, true.
What are some other? I guess things. I mean, I don't know. He is kind of a gambler. You know, he likes to play cards with his friends and stuff like that. Or
he drops 10 grand into the athlete investment. Oh,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of Brad's other points he had.
Okay.
When prompted that they were good on investing.
Yeah.
He was told, like, no, we're all set on investing. And he's like, just kidding. Here's some stacks.
Yep. Here's some stacks on stacks. Well, I guess what else does Brad have to say then? What other points does he have?
Show your work.
Okay. All right, this one might be my favorite one, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I love it, is Jim always has minimalistic Halloween costumes because he can't afford to buy a real costume.
I think that's just because he's a low-effort schmuck.
Look, Halloween's just another holiday invented by Hallmark, okay, to get us to buy things, candy, perpetuate this economic hellhole.
Wrong. It's costumes. All Hallows Eve, okay? It's a day you celebrate ghouls.
It's invented by, Samuel Adams to sell pumpkin beers.
Yeah.
And Spirit Halloween stores. They partnered together.
Just
fun fact, you know that Spirit Halloween is owned by Spencer's Gifts and makes up a ton of their yearly revenue as a company?
It's either that or the greatest boss mugs, I guess. Best boss mugs.
Yeah,
I think that's another part. That's about an eighth of their revenue, is those
world's
mugs.
Greatest boss mugs.
World's greatest boss mugs, and then the rest of it's Halloween store stuff.
Yeah.
anyways, tangent. What else has Brad got in there?
Okay. While on a sales call with Dwight, he tells the client that tax season is coming up and they can have him fully stocked by April 1st, which is only 15 days before the tax deadline, proof that Jim has no idea when taxes are actually due and probably hasn't filed them in years.
That's pretty aggressive.
He's not filing his taxes. Well, hey, to be fair, Michael only does it every other year. So
yeah, I only do it every other year.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe he just does it online right away.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't know because Dunder Mifflin takes him forever to get him his W-2, because that would not shock me.
He takes forever to get his haircut. He doesn't get his haircut really. So he doesn't like to spend money on that.
Yeah. That's true.
Hey, big haircut.
Hey, big haircut.
he wears the same white shirt that doesn't quite fit him right because he bought it from a Kohl's on discount.
No, he definitely got, it's a George brand shirt from Walmart. It came in the box with the tie.
It's powder blue.
Yep. That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. It's $5.
That's a good deal.
Jesus.
Okay. I don't know. This is actually a tough one. I'm trying to. So the idea is that he's bad with money, right?
He's bad with money until he married Pam, and then Pam cleaned up his finances.
Well, he tried to until Athlete came along.
Well, and that's big. That's also big proof that he kind of just makes a snap decision. I mean, I don't know. Part of this theory is that he's worse with money than Michael. That is tough.
That I think that's a hard sell for me. Brad.
Jim would never buy multiple magic sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the PowerPoint with the scary black
the
line.
Big scary black bar.
Of things that nobody needs.
No, that is a good point. I think Jim's already in pretty good shape. He doesn't need the Core Blaster Extreme, that kind of thing.
Let me throw out a quick theory that supports this.
Okay.
This wasn't on Brad's thing. I literally just thought of this, but now
he's going
I'm
off script.
I'm gonna own it. But the real reason that Jim started riding his bike to the Stanford branch was not to be more like his new boss, but because he just couldn't afford the car payment or the gas anymore, and he lost his car in Stanford.
Yeah. Ooh, that's also a good one. All right. Well, let's simplify this, take it to a vote. I think the idea is if we leave the Michael part out of it, I don't think that's a thing. But do we think that Jim is bad with money?
Let me go first.
All right.
We're going to leave the Michael part out of it. So we're not saying he's worse than Michael with money. We're just saying Jim's not good with money.
Exactly. Yes, right.
Correct.
I vote yes because of two reasons. The impulse offer to put all in on Athlete, because he could have done a half investment and then a slow trickle in
right.
as they grew and been a little bit more financially responsible and still put the same amount of energy and ownership into it at the end of the term, right?
Right.
Two, the comment he makes that says nothing can go wrong when you buy a house you can't afford.
Mm.
It's kind of damning.
Yeah, you're right. But do you think that statement is in reference to that house or to a different house that wasn't his parents?
No, I think it's in reference to that house, to his parents' house. He can't afford to buy his parents' house, but he's going to buy their house so they can retire.
Gotcha.
Right. And if you remember, he needs his bonus that he almost lost because Kelly lied on the customer surveys.
Yep. Should have been fired.
Agreed. But he was without that extra income, he was not financially stable. So he was like in the red without it, which is
there's
why
also,
he was so panicked.
Yeah. There's also the deal that he always gets every single year in like the first season of, I think it's Diversity Day.
With his mini bottle of champagne.
He buys himself a mini bottle of champagne. They love me over there. And that's 25% or 24%. He's going to go for 1% more now this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if he does so well on this one deal, it's like, is he blowing that money? You know, like, does he go through it? You know?
Sure.
That kind of a thing, too. I don't know. Nick, what do you think? What's your vote?
I vote yes. I vote yes because of the house, because of the athlete. Little things with the pranks, too, that I think were probably more expensive than they let on.
Uh-huh.
Things like where everybody calls him Dwayne, and he had to pay everybody $5 to do that.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's a lot of people in that office.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least a $50-$60 prank.
Yeah, I mean, if there's 10 people there.
Yeah.
Do the math. It's $65 because there's 13 employees. There, so yeah. I mean that
minus Jim.
That's true. Minus Jim, so 60. Call it 60.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and Dwight, you would minus Dwight out of that.
So still $55 when he spent $11 on the whole Dwight plus outfit
on a whim. Yeah.
$55. You know, probably plus tax and bottle deposit too.
How much money did he spend having that suit custom made? That's tearaway Velcro.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, probably way too much on that too.
Yeah.
I feel like, so I know that this is, it's basically been voted in unless I convince either of you otherwise at this point, but
it's never happened.
It's never happened in the history of this show. That's for damn sure. I don't think that he's bad with money. I actually think that Jim is a very frugal person. I think he just doesn't spend a lot of money on himself, and he doesn't really need or like look for extravagant things. I think that the joy he gets out of the pranks and stuff is like is okay because he's paying for an experience, guys. Okay.
Okay.
He's paying for an experience. But I think the frugality comes in, like, he doesn't really eat out to lunch at like ever.
Yeah.
Right. He lives in an apartment with his roommate. Like, so he's not like out there living in his own place. I think he's just kind of a frugal person, to be completely honest. His clothes aren't super flashy, like that kind of stuff, you know?
Him and Karen second half spam a lot.
Yeah, they
sneak in with all the smokers at intermission.
Exactly. He's never really gone to New York, right? He doesn't travel at all because Jim is eating the same ham and cheese sandwich. If I were a betting man, he's going to spend a fun weekend in Philly, right?
Him and Daryl split a small apartment in Philly.
Like, so my idea is that Jim is actually just a very frugal person, and he doesn't actually make a ton of money. And what he does make, the little bit of extra he has, is the simple joys of pranking Dwight.
I'm gonna back up.
Oh,
I think Jim is not necessarily bad with money.
All right.
I think that Jim is mostly a frugal individual. I think that Jim has poor impulse control.
Impulses, yes, yes. I think he has bad impulses.
With things like, with things like the house, things like the athlete, spill on your shirt again.
No.
You jackass. No. Mr. Stones in Glass Houses over there.
Continue.
I'm gonna back it up. I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go no. I don't think he's bad with money. I think that he's got poor impulse control on a handful of issues.
Wow. Okay.
I think that for the most part, AJ is correct. And as he started listing them off, I'm sitting here thinking of more and more, like Daryl, like the Spam-a-Lot, like stuff like that, where they look for cheap little things to do or ways to save money.
Right. Yeah, and by the way,
they can't afford to do anything because they're broke because Jim's bad with money.
They're
it's
broke because David Wallace as the CFO is the downfall of Dunder Mifflin. They don't make
if
enough
anything,
money as a
we
company.
Can agree that Jim is morally not, you know, pointed directly north when it
comes
to money.
That's not the issue. Focus on the things at hand.
Come on now. We are.
The question is not, is Jim a piece of shit? Because as we've established, everybody on this show is a piece of shit if we pick and choose our moments.
That's right.
The question is whether or not he's bad with money. We've already made the concession that he's not as bad with money as Michael. We've already agreed to leave that portion out of the fan theory.
Well, let's not spin webs here, Ben. Okay, we aren't here to spin webs. We're here to
stay on.
There you go. You vote.
We're
no.
not even through the fan theory yet. You've already called me Ben.
This will be a good episode for the rest of it. I hope. No, I think I do. And again, actually, the rebuttal to the bike is one of his main points is that it saves him money on gas.
Booyah.
Booyah.
Okay.
So I think he is. Right. I think he's frugal. He's obviously didn't go out and buy like a new bike like Josh has. You know, he's rocking that old guy.
I'm going to be honest, though. I'm sitting here and thinking, okay, I'm not going to flip-flop again. I'm locked in with no.
All right.
But I think that there are more examples even that we haven't given, like in Goodbye Toby, where he drops an enormous amount of money to help make that party more special for the proposal.
See?
Because I was thinking,
What
are cheap date things? And I was thinking of him and Pam hanging out on the roof with the stolen pizza watching the fireworks, right?
Right.
Right. But then I was like, oh, yeah, fireworks. Oh, yeah, he paid for like a Ferris wheel and fireworks and all sorts of shit for Goodbye Toby.
He gave a bunch of money to Phyllis for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%, man.
I'm still sticking with it. I think he's just got poor impulse control. Everything that he's done seems like a split-second decision, with the exception of maybe the house.
I am going to double down on the impulse. I think he's frugal with bad impulse control. There it is. Okay. That's what I think.
We can toast
so
to
we
that.
All, we all agree. That's the same thing, guys.
It's not the same thing as being bad with money. Saying
you're bad at impulse control, like financial decisions, is the same as saying you're bad with financial decisions. I mean, you're just adding a word.
I'm sorry.
I like to have fun.
This is Michael and Ryan, so we're on the same page.
No,
we're not.
So it's business as usual.
Are we going to do it? Okay, we're rewriting it as that though. If this is an agree to disagree situation, then it is going to be Jim is a frugal person with bad intermittent impulse decision making.
Correct. But as a whole, I feel like he's decent with his money.
There. Boom.
Can we move on? I am parched.
I wish we would.
I am happy to do so. Allow me to crack-a-lack this bottle that Nick is going to tell us about.
Oh, God, that's a great cork. Oh, yeah. Squeaky boy.
Go for it.
Just for good measure. One more. So this is the Colonel E.H. Taylor small batch. So there's a whole series of Colonel E.H. Taylor that they do with different things, like their Warehouse C or their Single Barrel or their Four Grains or their Grain of the Gods or whatever. There's tons of different ones that they do. Mm-hmm. This is your easiest to find one.
Okay.
This is the small batch. It is a little higher rye content, so it is a little spicier, a little more flavorful. It does come in at 100 proof, so it's a 50% ABV. I think you'll dig it. It is bottled in bond, which is cool.
I was gonna say it's a bottled in bond. Bottled in bond are 50% or 100 proof.
We got my dad a bottle of E.H. Taylor. I don't know what it
he
was.
Got,
I
he got like the single barrel.
Single barrel.
Yep.
Single barrel.
I remember because Ray texted me about it.
There you go. So we got him that actually. So this is the small batch.
Yep.
Okay.
So single barrel meaning that it all came from one barrel, small batch meaning it is a blend of a handful of barrels.
Interesting. Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
Cheers,
well,
fellas.
Cheers, friends.
Cheers.
From our sweet scotch and Splenda glasses.
Yeah, I know. We got those badass glasses, scotch and Splenda. It's got my name on it. Mm-hmm. You know, drinking out of my own glass because... Doug and what's
Danielle?
Thank you.
DNF Designs.
They hooked it up.
Yes.
So
thank you very much again, guys.
Yeah, these are awesome.
Man, very cool. Good stuff. We were talking about the nose on it a little bit. I said it's got kind of almost like a fruity baking spice. It's almost
there
like a banana bready kind of note to it, I guess, when I'm getting a whiff of it.
I get that. I understand where you're coming from. Kind of warms you up a little bit like you're baking during the fall or winter.
Yeah.
I get you.
I would almost describe it as a little dry, almost. I feel like my mouth is very dry.
It's a dry after having it's one not of those. Too humid. Humid. Yeah. Yeah. The
it's
humidity's
the,
low.
It's the Phoenix, Arizona of bottled in bond.
Gotcha. Okay, great. I love that. No, I love that. BJ, what are your thoughts?
I love this. I mean, it's so funny when we were talking about what to drink tonight and I was the one that said, let's do this one. And then I got home and as I was like thinking about it, like last night I had a glass of the same exact bottle. So I probably should have got something else.
Still
but it's all good. I love it. It's one of my go-tos. Not super easy to find here in the Midwest, but it's good. But it's I would describe this as is like a sailor's whiskey. Like I could drink this on a boat.
Oh,
and like a twilight boat ride. This is a sailor's whiskey.
Okay.
I feel like I want this with like a, like I know again, I'm always going to speak blasphemous things, when doing this, but I feel like
what's our motto here, AJ, with drinking what you want.
Add ice to it.
You drink whatever you want, unless it's Screwball.
Unless it's fucking Screwball.
If you drink Screwball, then fuck you.
To BJ's point about having it like on a boat, I feel like I want this with like a splash of soda.
Sure.
And like that's, I feel like I would actually really enjoy that. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say this is a half a packet.
Nice.
This is a half a packet. And if you gave me the soda water,
yeah,
I'd probably be pretty hyped on it. So
give you the soda water,
yeah,
and a thinly sliced lime.
Yes.
As like a very small thin sliced wedge of lime
or an orange.
I was gonna go like a burnt orange.
I bet you would dig this in an old fashioned.
You know what? I agree with you. I think that would be wonderful in an old fashioned.
You know what you should do?
Tell me.
Take a little bit of that agave syrup.
Yeah.
Just give it a little splishy splash.
I'll hook it up.
That we were using for our Belgian margs.
That's right, Daddy. All right. Well, yeah, half a packet.
Nice. I dig it.
And I think that's pretty fun. I think we'll sip on this. Speaking of boat rides,
all right.
Let's go talk with the faux captain, Dwight Schrute.
Hey-o.
and get his opinion on steering this ship, because we had some people reach out to us and say, "Hey, when are you doing more characters? Like, when are you diving into like?" They were asking about Jim and Pam, so we did Jim and Pam. When are you gonna do Creed? So we did Creed, and it's like, you know what? Let's start hitting some core characters. We did the accounting crew, right? We decided not to get too specific, but we're like, all right, we did the accounting. Well, now here we are at Dwight Schrute, who has been declared in the Scotch and Splenda ethos as the main character of The Office itself.
The main
Dwight
fart,
character. I mean, Kurt Schrute.
That's right. Yeah. This is huge.
This is humongous.
My middle name is Kurt, not Fart.
I'm not a security risk.
So we have Dwight Schrute, and Dwight honestly has some of the best character arc of the entire series. I mean, like, throughout the entire series. Now, we're focusing in on seasons 1 and 2, because as we've learned in past experience of this show, it's impossible to get past, like, 2 seasons of a character when we're really breaking them down. So
yeah, we try to do too much with Jim and Pam, I think.
I think You know, we want to make sure we take our time and we can get through it the right way.
Yep.
So that being said, season 1, let's start off in season 1. Dwight is so young.
He
looks so young, and he's got the hair that
his hair is weird.
His hair is strange, man. Like, Dwight's
weird. It looks greasy. It's like greasy, and especially in the pilot episode.
Yeah, Dwight's,
you know, it's like kind of curled in on itself.
Yeah,
Dwight's hair has much of a character arc as Dwight does in this entire series. Like, let's be honest. Like, his hair goes through a transition as more intense than Dwight itself.
They were like, "Rain, can you go work out really heavily for like an hour and then come back? Don't shower. I'm gonna comb your hair while it's wet and sweaty."
Yeah, we want you to go get the guns ready for the gun show.
Yeah,
you know.
See how Papa feeds you.
I also, one of the first times we really get to see Dwight though is we see him humming and mouthing "Little Drummer Boy."
Yeah.
And then I think that was one of like the greatest nods. I never looked it up, but I wonder how that came about, if that was actually planned with Angela, or if that was they heard him do that and they're like, "We're going to work this in somehow." You know what I mean?
So there is a fan theory out there that they were dating much longer. I can't remember. Have we discussed that?
Well, yeah, because it's not Christmas time.
It's not Christmas.
Yeah,
and that's her favorite song,
right?
Correct.
It's much bigger than Christmas. So there's no reason why he'd be around it anyway.
When we do a Dwight and Angela episode, we'll dive into that theory a little harder.
Okay,
absolutely.
But I think that's it. That's the start. That's how you meet Dwight, and he's got a Trans Am.
Yeah.
Can anyone do the math on how much he thinks he made on the Trans Am and really lost? I can't remember what he says, but it's like, "Yeah, I bought it for $2,500, but then he said I had to completely rebuild the engine." I had to, like, he starts listing off, like, "I changed out the transmission. I completely rebuilled the engine." Lists like 5 of the most expensive things you can do to a car.
Yeah.
Like, he's got at least 12 grand into this Trans Am. He's like, "Now it's worth $3,000, like $500 more than the purchase price."
For sure.
And he replaced the engine.
Oh my god, I know. Like that's again, like, honestly, some of Dwight's dialogue is some of the most like subtle. It's some of the most subtly funny. When it really comes down to it, like that, like him saying he got like a great deal on this Trans Am and then basically souped it all up, but essentially rebuilt it. And then
he didn't even soup it up. He just fixed a broken car.
That's what I mean. Like.
In that scene specifically, it draws for me a lot of parallel to Brian Baumgartner in the first couple episodes.
Oh, sure, sure.
Where it is like the Dwight voice and Kevin voice versus the Brian and Rain voices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like, especially in that specific talking head, he's just very much like Rain Wilson. He's not Dwight Schrute. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He just sounds like a very normal individual talking about, I got a 86 Trans Am or 87, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree with, I think his posture is very much Dwight at this like, point, but his voice is not. You're right. You're 100% right.
Just like some of his, I don't know, some of his vocal mannerisms with that are very different than the Dwight you get like 10 episodes later, halfway into season two.
Well, I mean, even from pilot episode to through like healthcare.
Yeah.
Like healthcare is even different enough as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Not to skip over like diversity day or whatever.
Or like basketball.
Basketball. Oh my God. Basketball.
Still. I assume we're still going to talk a lot about basketball today.
If you ever think we're not going to talk about the basketball episode, guys, on this show.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
if we ever get big enough that we have merch, can we just take the 94 Dream Team.
Yeah.
Can we take that and put it on a t-shirt and just poorly Microsoft Paint clip our faces onto the team?
Yeah, I think
that'd be great. And then we'll put like Michael and Dwight on there. Could we put Ryan on the back that says same team Dwight?
I love that. Yeah, same I think that's all I want is just a shirt in the office font that says same team Dwight.
Same team Dwight.
And then I think that'd be perfect. But no, like, Diversity Day was a good one. Like, I think we get to see some of Dwight's true colors, being upset that he might potentially be a woman. You know?
Oh, God, am I a woman?
Am I a woman? And, like, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know. His development in season one is pretty, pretty necessary. Let's just say that.
Shalom.
Stupid fucking. Nice, Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he really comes into his own for healthcare, but yeah, that's just me.
For sure.
Healthcare, yeah, that's kind of his first kind of A like storyline, I guess.
He's drunk with power.
Yeah.
Well, and he's kind of leading that episode, and Michael's almost a back burner of that episode, really. I mean, it's all about Dwight in the healthcare in the office. And then, like, the secondary to me is like Michael trying to figure out what surprise they're going to get him. But healthcare is definitely when you can see like Dwight's hunger for power, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. 100%.
And why at that time he would have been such a terrible branch manager.
Right. You know, I think that's a funny thing. Like, let's say somehow Dwight. Even later on in the series, like when Michael was interviewing for the corporate job, if he had become manager even at that point, it would have been absolutely disastrous. Think about if he had gotten some sort of management position in the office at that point for like healthcare.
Yeah.
This place would be
a nightmare.
An absolute nightmare. Like,
I think they would have had a walkout.
Oh, God, they would have had a walkout. Are you kidding?
Sure. They would have been the first branch that unionized its office workers.
No kidding. Yeah. Like, there's no way it doesn't happen. Like, the moment he tries to take away bathrooms, like, later on, even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, no. What is the matter with you? Like, he just strips everything back to his own way of the world, you know?
Yeah.
And he has no social awareness. Essentially, when it comes to like his coworkers, so
okay. Moving on from healthcare, we got, you know, the Alliance. That's a great Jim and Dwight
outstanding episode.
Yes,
yep. And you really find out like Dwight is probably not the most common sense savvy individual. Nope. I would probably say.
Yeah.
He has a hard time separating fiction from nonfiction, as we've established. Yeah.
And you really find out that side of it in that episode for sure. My favorite part is the very end where his hair's dyed, but he's convinced that he tricked Jim, you know, the whole time.
And yes.
You know, but he's going to go to the other branch and spy on him.
It's all from one of the best pranks, I think, of like the CIA, I believe. Yes. Isn't that the same episode where it's the Alliance sorry. The Alliance, that was Valentine's Day. I apologize. He's going to go and spy, and he's got the blonde hair. He's going to infiltrate and find out about the other alliances going on. That's pretty phenomenal.
Not to get too much, like, I think that was the, that's Halloween. We'll talk about that when we get to season two. Sorry.
Sure.
Back up.
We'll just keep it going through season one, what comes after that. Because I can tell you it rhymes with schmasketball.
Yeah, the basketball.
Well, we'll be skins. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
his hentai shirt and face mask.
It's so upsetting, the shirt.
It really is. Like, I don't know how he got away with that one. But here again, though, it's him about wanting to be involved and him about not having any of this, like, social awareness, if you will. Michael doesn't want him on the team, like, probably to good measure, but at the same time, he needs bodies. So it's like, why wouldn't you include Dwight to it?
Stanley, of course.
Yeah, oh, Stanley. Why, of course. Why, of course. But like,
and then you go to like his basketball game with when he embarrasses him in front of Todd Packer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd Packer.
Todd Packer, Dwight.
Yeah. But you do learn something that in the early seasons, like Michael and Dwight were hanging out outside of work.
Yeah.
And that kind of ends after season one.
Good point.
Like, good point.
But there's definitely proof, you know. And then it goes back to whatever the episode is when Michael's like, I think back to all the times that I wasted, you know, hanging out with you and watching Battlestar Galactica, and I could have been out meeting, you know, girls. And it's like, nice girls you're meeting at the bar, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think is that the Leeds or whatever or like something like that. And same with the fact of him trying to get Dwight to hang out again and watch whatever stupid show he wants to watch when it's the party, Jim's party.
Yes. Sorry, when you said the party, I immediately went to the Glee watch party.
Jim's barbecue.
Yes.
Yeah, surveillance.
Yeah.
Email surveillance, and him trying to get Dwight, like, using it as some sort of in to get Dwight to hang out again. You know. That's a good point. He did. They used to hang out to some degree. Does that mean that Dwight may have been like a junior salesman potentially while Michael was a salesman? I'm mixing past timelines?
No, not necessarily, because Dwight was definitely there. So I don't think Jim ever worked with Michael as a sales rep.
Okay.
But we know that Dwight was there, and he was there as a sales rep before Jim, because they talk about when Pam introduced Jim to Dwight, and she said, you're going to meet Dwight.
100%.
And from now on, your life will never be the same, or something to that effect.
Yes. Oh, yeah. you're absolutely right.
Dwight was there, and he was there long enough to establish a reputation as sort of a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I don't think that that's necessarily super far-fetched to think that they might have worked together or had some overlap.
Sure. Maybe Michael was assistant to the regional manager.
He was in sort of like an interim position or something.
Yeah. He had to take off that fanny pack to move up in the ranks. But I don't know. I think basketball is a fun introduction. Not so much introduction, but like real good insight into his relationship with all of his coworkers.
Oh yeah,
like Ryan. very much treating him as the temp. Same team, Dwight.
Yep.
Like, taking the ball and running with it, literally.
Dwight hitting the shot, and Michael going, I was open, Dwight.
I was open, and, like, so zero appreciation from Michael for him doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Him and Angela with the first aid kit.
Yep. He's
both instances.
Yeah.
Where he's the safety officer, but she's the safety officer, and he does the...
You have to break the...
Well, he does the lifts it up above his head without looking up from his desk where she's looking for.
Yeah.
And then when you got to break the internal bag.
I think it reveals a lot about Dwight's relationships with everyone in the office, actually.
Yeah.
With a simple game of basketball.
And then your season one finale, Hot Girl.
Hot Girl.
Yeah. Hot also girl. Hilarious Dwight stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And that would be, I mean, going back, that would be proof that him and Angela weren't dating at that point, right? Because he was trying to get with Katie.
Ooh.
That's fair.
I think there's some reality to that.
Maybe they were not exclusive.
Right. Maybe they just...
Or maybe they were having a fight or something.
Maybe they're just hooking up.
Yeah. Maybe they were having a fight over the basketball game because of Dwight fucking up the ice pack or something.
That's right. I'm trying, like, continue, BJ. I'm trying to think of other instances in the first season that show Dwight and Angela. But you continue, BJ.
No, I mean, that really was the only, my only point to that little comment was, I mean, he was actively, right, trying to get with Katie. And what did he say to Michael when he's just like, I would like your permission to like ask out Katie. And then he's like, well, she's no, but I know the rules of dating, interoffice dating. He's like, well, she's not a permanent staff member.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's okay. And, you know, he's like, are you just driving her home driving her home and more? And, and he's like, maybe I'm driving her home. Maybe we're
my brother Ray. When we would talk about The Office all the time, my brother Ray is the reason that The Office exists in my life, to be completely honest. And he has told me that, and it's the best description of Dwight that I have ever heard, is all you have to do is throw out these places that he has to step and tell him the rest is lava. And he will not step off of those points.
Yeah.
Like you have to throw these stepping stones in front of him, and the rest is truth, right? He will only take it for what you say. And the funniest thing about that is this whole thing with Katie, the purse girl.
Yes.
To be like, Michael, please, can I please like try to date? It's like, will you please just tell me if I can or if I can't? Like,
yeah.
It's such a great example of him. I have to follow the rules.
I need to get permission. Yes. I need to, yeah.
It's like some sort of weird, like, I don't know, complex.
Yeah.
From his farm life. His parents.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it stems back to his crazy childhood, right? And he's just got to please. He always tried to please his mama. Or what is it?
100%.
Mooter.
Or Professor
Charles Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, yeah.
Thank
and
you.
So maybe that has somebody said. But all right, let's move on to my
that
favorite
one, that
season.
One took
season
AJ a
two.
Second.
Yeah, let's do season two. I love okay, season two, man. Season
the
two.
Dundies.
The Dundies.
The Dundies.
How could I explain it? give me some Dundies.
Tiny Dundies.
Okay, first of all, Dwight with the mixer.
Yes.
Yes.
At the Chili's restaurant is amazing. Yeah. He did not get enough credit for how good he did with, even though it like upset Michael when it was like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. Oh yeah.
Oh and, yeah.
Like his
I need that button on
that
our
mixer.
Board.
I know.
I dude, the Office Ladies episode where they talk about that Rainn Wilson was a fucking menace with that soundboard the entire time, evidently. They said he just broke people left and right because they didn't give him any cues with that. They were just like, yeah, just go wild with it, screw around with it, see what you like, see where you can fit it in. And he would just like pepper that shit in constantly and just ruin so many takes, they said.
He was doing the opposite of sucking the funny out of the room, essentially. Yeah. He was inflating it for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man. I think that's so funny just to give him give Rainn free Rainn with the board. So that's great. Stop it. Oh gosh. Yeah, he did.
The waitress tripped over the cord.
But his evolution from season 1 to 2 being the most loyal of Michael's assistant to the regional manager, like worshiping his ground, like the ground Michael walks on, doing anything he says, to an 11, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it just slowly trickles away as he kind of progresses his character, I guess, throughout the next seasons. But
when is the coup? Is that season 3? When he tries to, when he meets Jan. When he lies about the dentist appointment, the coup.
That's season 2, I think.
I don't think so. I think it's 3. I think it's 3. I don't know.
We'll get a fact check on that.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No,
if somebody's
you're right.
Still got
it's
the
season 3.
It's early. Yep. It's early.
Early. Yep.
It's before Jim gets back from
Stanford.
This is
Dwight Schrute.
Yep. So that's got to be like season 3, episode 3, probably. It's probably right after the convention.
It's my job to know. It's not.
It's not.
It
it's
is officially not.
Oh, shit.
Sorry. Back to 2.
Back to 2. And I think, I think you're right. I mean, if I was going to skip ahead at least a little bit, their Office Olympics shows us how loyal he really is, wanting to be right there by Michael's side when he goes and closes on his condo.
Yep.
I mean, like that right there is like, can I be, what does he call himself? Your associate or something? Or can I be your, like, I saw it was so funny.
You do get, to BJ's point though, you get little bits and pieces of like the, oh, maybe Dwight doesn't want to do absolutely everything Michael says.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to convince Dwight to rent out the room.
Yeah.
And Dwight is like, I mean, it seems like it's pretty well established that he's on purpose trying to convince Michael to rescind that offer.
Yeah.
I was left a large number of armoires.
Armoires? What should I do with my terrariums? It's very nice of him to offer. Yeah. It's very nice of him to offer.
Yeah.
But I have a 9-bedroom beet farm on a 60-acre
beet farm. Working beet farm.
He's got one outhouse,
the one bathroom.
Yeah,
and it's under. What does he say? It's under the deck or
something to that effect.
But he's such a Dwight is such an anomaly. Like he does 9 to 5 at this job. He's never late and he's never missed a day.
Yeah,
and then he goes and he does this working beet farm. With Moe's.
Never missed a day my ass. Dwight, they convince him it's Friday.
Yeah. Oh, my
Sorry,
God.
Please continue.
No, I'm just saying.
I even come in on weekends and holidays. You do? How do you get in? I have a key. Well, that's a serious offense. That is a serious offense.
That is a serious offense.
Almost like stealing someone's heart.
Oh, no. Oh God! Speaking of stealing someone's heart, the client also in season 2.
Yes, yep. Tim Meadows.
Oh, just absolutely phenomenal! Burning the midnight
AJ,
oil.
I really wish
AJ.
That,
I think you've seen that episode a couple times.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
I really wish we would have seen some overlap with Dwight or Jim and Tim Meadows' character.
Oh, I would love that. The super fan episode. FYI, go ahead, BJ. What was it?
No, I was just going off of what Nick said. And like he like comes in the office to like do a different sales call or check up or have a meeting at the office, and everyone is like super normal.
Yeah,
I really want to see Michael trying to do some like internet copycat recipe of an awesome blossom there at the office as an homage to their first meeting, and he's just got like a full-on deep fryer in the kitchen area, like that little galley kitchen.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
He's got like the kitchen sink filled with oil, and then he's got a Bunsen burner underneath the sink.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then it flashes over to him, and he goes, "Don't worry, I'll just drain it."
It's like, "I'll drain it." Just drain it. And then you get the talking head that it's like, it's commercial plumbing, it should handle it.
He just later in the episode, you see Billy Merchant wheeling in with some plumber.
Yeah. Trying to show him the way. Oh my god.
An exit scene of Michael walking out of the front of the building, and Billy and the plumber are like looking into a big water leak above Hank's desk, like trying to figure out.
It'd be like, oh my god, that'd be amazing. Oh god. By the way, we are still writing fan fiction for anybody from the office who wants to get in touch with us.
We will work for perks.
We will work for perks. Dude, that's amazing.
I should elaborate. We will not work for Percocet. We will work for small benefits.
OxyContin?
Not pay? Nope. That's not.
Nope. Don't want any of that.
What is it?
What?
We will work for good bourbon.
You bet.
We will work for good bourbon.
That is.
It doesn't even have to be 100%. That good. I'd work for like a Maker's. Give me like Maker's Mark. That's fine. Just go grab it off the shelf. Get the big 1.75s from Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
Well, okay. So if we've gone from like Office Olympics and stuff, it's still talking about Dwight's loyalty to Michael with the fire.
Yep.
Ryan started the fire. If you guys didn't know.
Fire guy.
But we see obviously like Dwight's loyalty and how he is just like crestfallen.
Yep.
At this point, when Michael's committing so much into Ryan.
Yep.
And then he dashes into the building.
When he was up among the flames.
Yes.
I love that phrasing so much.
Would your phone when make I you was happy? Among the flames. Is that what you would want? And he dashes up to there. Yes. I just think it's like, it's such a great point. And then it's also Dwight's dramatic side.
Yeah.
You know? Is really shown too at the in his car.
Yeah.
Everybody hurt. Just cranked full blast. I think that is so funny, dude.
Oh, he's been chasing that dream of being like the number two, like succeeding Michael, and for too long. You feel bad for him.
You do feel bad for him. I think it's one of the few moments you do feel bad for Dwight, honestly. Like,
which are few and far between.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like as often as you feel bad for Dwight, you feel strong about Michael.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an interesting take. Like they kind of pepper them out so that way they don't like overlay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So what do we got? What's next?
Well, we didn't cover, we got email surveillance, you know.
Yep, and with Jim's barbecue.
Email surveillance.
That is where you find out for sure about Dwight and Angela. But, like I said, we'll cover that in a different episode.
One day, we know what? We might have to have a follow-up to this about, I think we need to do a mystery episode about when this started.
That would be fun to do in an episode called like Establishing Timeline.
Yeah, like I think if we establish like, okay, here's the mystery. Like when did they really start dating? I think that would be a lot of fun.
I agree.
If we trace that back.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. You're right, BJ. Like email surveillance definitely confirms at the end of it that Angela and Dwight are in a relationship of to some degree.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love the interaction with Dwight and Jim's roommate.
Oh my god.
Where he
must
like,
be Dwight.
He must be Dwight. He's so excited. He's like, "Oh my god, I've heard so much about this guy. You must be Dwight."
Jim says that he doesn't think Dwight exists.
Yeah.
He's making him up.
Yeah.
Luckily,
he's
I had an extra set of Birkenstocks in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you know why that scene happened?
Why?
To establish a reason to show Dwight's shoes.
Are you serious?
And explain that he's wearing Birkenstocks. The same reason that they came up with the scene where Jim to Angela was like, are you having fun? And she's like, I got sap on my shoes. And it's just so that whole scene happened just so they could establish what Angela's shoes were wearing. Because at the very end, all you can see in the playhouse are the shoes.
The shoes knocking boots.
Fair enough. Yep.
Too busy knocking boots.
Sap on my shoes.
Got sap on my shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the whole reason for that scene, was just to find a reason to show
hot dogs
you what
and
Dwight was
burgers.
Wearing.
Hot dog. And a vegetarian. There is soda,
in the kitchen. I guess the Christmas party.
Yes.
And Christmas party is a good one.
Yeah.
I think we've established how much we and probably most of the office watching, world appreciates their Christmas episodes, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to do our Christmas episodes here in a couple months.
Oh God. Oh.
I shouldn't say a couple months. In a few months.
In a few months. I mean, I can't wait. We're going to have a whole month probably dedicated to office Christmas episodes to some degree,
I love
guys.
It.
Like holidays, like all that. I can't wait to tackle Halloween episodes for you guys.
Yep.
Oh man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I would say Christmas party. This isn't the one. Is it Benihana
this
Christmas
the,
with the goose, or is or what's or
yeah,
is this the
Benihana
way,
Christmas is with
the goose.
Season
yes.
this season is them, two Christmas party is it's the Yankee Swap or White Elephant
bringing in the Christmas tree,
the iPod.
Yep.
Yeah.
That episode. Yep.
The iPod.
That Michael
just dates
and Dwight.
The show. That's like that is God. Such a like the video iPod being the hottest Christmas gift of the year. Like that dates the show.
It's another moment where you feel bad for Dwight because he does the paintball lessons with Dwight and he's so excited that Michael's got that.
Yeah. He's super excited to hang out with Michael outside of work again.
Yep.
You and me.
Yep.
And he's like, how is that as good as a video iPod? Yep. And he's like, I never said it was,
Yeah.
While also keep in mind, Dwight helped him bring in that obnoxious Christmas tree.
Yeah. Well, and who's the person who got the video iPod, like, or originally, and why
Ryan.
That would be so upsetting to Dwight?
Oh, good call. Yeah.
Ryan,
it's like, that's a great continuity, like, continuity. Like, it's just like, oh, man, like, yeah, he just keeps hammering into this.
He just
this.
Goes all out for Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's, yeah, you're right. it's because Ryan's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hottest in the office.
As we established in the Dundies. Because
side tangent.
Ryan the temp.
Side tangent. I love so much when Danny Cordray gets hottest in the office and Ryan is like upset about it and trying to show that he's upset about it.
Dude.
I just.
Like, what,
it's
what
so
is hot?
Subjective. What,
objective. Yeah.
Like, what even goes into. He's so like annoyed that he didn't get it for once.
Dude, I love that trio dynamic that they created between those three characters.
Yeah. Your love triangle, but it's just like the triangle
of
affection
bromance.
And yeah.
It's this triangle of bromance.
It's a mentorship triangle.
Yeah. I think it is maybe one of the greatest like writing vehicles of the past like two decades.
Yeah.
Like to be completely honest.
Is those three. Yeah.
It just created so many things.
Yeah.
For that show. And honestly, I think for other people to mimic, I think it's phenomenal.
And I'm sure we'll talk more about it in, whenever we get to season four,
mm-hmm.
Dwight, and we're talking about Ryan after he's become the boss.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And like that dynamic that they have, but
yeah. Yep, absolutely. You know, because it's funny, it's, just to give you guys a little heads up, it's kind of funny how much Ryan almost still respects Dwight.
Yeah.
Because of how good he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Very, very good point. Very good point.
So. Can we get into my favorite episode of all time?
Hit it.
The injury.
I was just going to say, are you talking about the injury?
The injury, yes.
Concussion,
that is
Dwight.
Probably, in my opinion, one episode that could stand alone. Like, it is one of those episodes, if you never saw The Office, you can kind of jump in and,
yep.
And just think it's a good comedy series. But that is that is Dwight in an A-line series, like, role more than any other.
Right.
Obviously, we all know how it goes, but so many good moments where, like, he drops the fan on the toe, and it's Michael in the office with his foot up. And I mean, the whole episode starts around, I mean, the injury is the actual injury of that episode. The main character is not Michael, because Michael was not injured. He had a little tiny burn on his foot. Dwight had a serious concussion.
Credit where credit is due to Michael. He had full-on blistered grill marks on his foot.
He did have second-degree burns on his foot.
But, I mean, yes, he definitely was milking it and should have just stayed home.
And yeah,
the whole reason he came is because he wanted the attention.
The real injured person in that episode was Dwight.
You're right.
Crashed his car.
Absolutely.
What was the fun fact that you had about the disgusting soup?
Oh, the throw up.
Yeah.
It was cream of chicken soup.
Oh. He said to hold in his mouth.
Cream of chicken or cream of mushroom or something.
Something terrible.
Yeah, chicken. He had a hold in his mouth, and when he threw it up over the fake threw it up over the back of the car, he whipped his head so hard trying to get a good spew radius for the camera that he actually injured his neck. So there was a real Jesus injury Christ. On the episode, The Injury.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, or if maybe I'm making this up, is that he wasn't even supposed to do it over the car. He was just supposed to throw up. He decided
this would be funnier if it was all over the window.
It's also, he was right.
That episode is home to probably...
Oh, Dwight. Oh.
Probably my favorite Billy Merchant line. Oh, not Michael. The moon face kid who ran into the pole. He looks like he's got a concussion.
To hear that come out of Billy is just like, rest in peace, by the way. Like, you're just like, man, like, that is brilliant writing, but also the best delivery.
It's such a funny joke, too, because on its second layer, when you look at it a little closer, where he goes, no, not Michael. Like, not Michael. No, I know Michael's a dumbass.
I know Michael's like, a dumbass. Dude, no, you're 100%
Michael,
right.
The moon face kid. That
he's like, I've dealt with Michael for how long?
Yeah.
You know, oh, dude, you're 100% right. Oh my god, you're right though, BJ. Like, the injury is, I don't know. Like, I feel like, do you guys feel like that brings out this, like, the true side of Dwight or a false side of Dwight?
I think it brings out a side of Dwight that no longer has the compulsive need to be the toughest, smartest person.
Okay.
I think it brings out a side of Dwight that is a much more comfortable Dwight. You know what I mean?
I see. I
agree with that.
So much of Dwight's persona is just projecting this masculinity and intelligence.
Okay.
Yeah, but what if that's how he is outside of the workplace and around work people, where he's not in, you know, on mode, where he's trying to get promoted, trying to be the best, trying to do a great job, and he's just kind of a laid back, like,
then I get how he's smashing chicks all the time.
Truth.
I get it. With Angela, with what's her nuts? What's the chicken?
Isabella?
Wait, nope, not Isabel.
Oh,
also her. Did you almost say Gertrude?
I did.
That's almost what I said.
It's not Gertrude, though. We'll figure it out.
You know who I'm talking about, though, later seasons.
We couldn't even remember. Yeah.
We couldn't remember it last time either. We brought her up. But no, like, Dwight is arguably incredibly successful with women when he wants to be, with the exception maybe of Katie, the purse girl.
Yeah, no, 100%. He met her
in the office.
Exactly.
He met her in the office.
Yeah. The other time he blows it, is the chick at the singles mixer after the blood drive.
Oh my God.
Who he meets the in the office and he's trying to close the sale.
Because he's trying to close deals.
Yeah.
ABC, and baby.
And the only reason Angela worked out, because they worked together for so long, she finally got to break through and see the non-office side of Dwight. Yep.
Exactly. Esther, by the way.
Esther.
Esther. Right.
You're 100% right, though, BJ. Like,
Yeah.
He's, he's a different beat outside of the office.
No, you're... I believe so. I don't know. Like, what else we got on Dwight, though? Because
let's keep it rolling. We got Booze Cruise.
Oh yeah, I mean
Booze Cruise.
We talked a lot about Booze Cruise. We could touch quick on Booze Cruise.
Yeah,
we've
go
never,
for it.
Dwight
never
being
Booze Cruise.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What'd you say?
He said we've never talked about Booze Cruise.
Come on now.
Dwight being. I mean, some highlights obviously. Dwight being put in charge of steering the ship, and it's a fake wheel dummy. Outstanding.
It's a fake wheel dummy. Yeah.
Angela trying to get him to come inside.
Oh,
and he won't do it.
Another pin in that timeline.
Yep.
Come Angela. Inside.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Outstanding. Very funny stuff.
Yeah.
What do we got after? You'd have what? The secret? Next?
I think so.
But that's mostly Jim and Michael.
Yep. And then, yep, you got, I mean, you got a bunch of ones. I think we just skip right to the cream of the crop, and that's Dwight's speech.
Dwight's speech. Dwight's.
Mean,
speech.
Let's talk about the most Dwight episode. It's literally named after Dwight, where you learn so much about this man. A, you also learn that Angela supports him.
Yeah,
so there's a side note for that, but
keep that in mind.
He is so nervous to speak in front of his peers and like superiors as well.
Yeah,
that he can be convinced by Jim to mimic a dictator
Mussolini's like, speech.
Yeah.
Blood alone will move the wheels of history.
Have you ever wondered during an hour of meditation the day,
which
everyone finds? Oh my gosh, it is phenomenal. Like, because again, you're right though. Like this throws together how many of everything how much of what we know about Dwight.
Yeah,
he has to step on the stepping stones. He has to be respected in front of his peers. He has to win Michael's affections. He has to, I mean. Like even when it comes to Jim,
yeah,
he is taking this advice because somebody is throwing what it appears to him to be knowledge. You know, the greatest speakers were not comedians. Like they were like that's what it is. They were passionate people.
Yeah.
And we're just watching him again just step onto these stepping stones and everything else is lava.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
I love that Dwight, another Michael and Dwight dynamic at the bar afterward when they're sitting there and Michael is just telling like this super lame story and Dwight is so psyched.
He's still enthralled by it.
Yeah.
He's like, I captivated the guy who captivated 1,000 guys.
Does that speak more to
1,000 guys?
Speaks more to Michael's demented mind.
Yeah.
Delusional mind. Yeah.
But well, he went Dwight's there convinced just, that night was about him, and
dude,
it was
you're
about
right.
Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
you're
point.
Right.
Good point. Like, I think, you know, and Michael trying to, like, work with Dwight, you know?
Yep.
Trying to lead him up to it. Like, and again, Dwight says, I'm not intimidated by them. They are my inferiors.
Yeah.
Subordinates.
Subordinates.
Sorry.
Subordinates, yeah.
What's the difference between a salesman and a saleswoman?
One has a vagina and the other does not.
All right,
yeah, you're right about the difference between a man and a woman, but you're not right about the punchline of the joke. All right, drug testing.
Let's
do that one.
I'm fine with drug testing if we want to do that. Michael's birthday, though, in between there.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, it's just another testament to him just needing to serve Michael. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Can we talk for 2 seconds about his birthday present?
The photo?
The customized jersey.
From Dwight.
From Dwight.
Number one.
Yeah. The Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguins jersey from Dwight.
The Penguins jersey from Dwight. Like, yeah. I want that jersey for
super
me.
Super bad.
For when I can go to hockey games.
Yep.
Like, I want that custom jersey for myself when I go to hockey games. It doesn't have to be that exact team, but I just want to say from Dwight.
If we ever have a fancy studio for our podcast, like you do for Confused, can we have a framed jersey that says from Dwight that's a Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguin?
100%. And I want two of them so I can wear one and so we can have one framed.
That'll be the sort of decor that just...
Yeah.
It'll be a St. Pauli girl neon beer sign. And a framed Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguin jersey that says from Dwight.
A Dundee certificate as well as a Seiko watch certificate of authenticity.
I have a framed at home that my boss brought me back from her trip to Scranton, Pennsylvania. A print of the first the pilot episode script that's a signed print from all the cast.
Oh my God.
But it's like I mean, it's just a copy of it, but that's amazing. Still cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
still
my God.
A cool display piece.
That's great.
Throw that up. We'll develop our own studio.
Yeah.
With blackjack and hookers.
We'll figure it out. Drug testing. BJ, what do you have for drug
testing? No, I love the drug testing episode. That is, there's so much there, but you, first of all, I mean, side note is the fact that Michael went to an Avril Lavigne Alicia Keys. Yeah. That in itself is such an underrated joke that he went to an Alicia Keys concert by himself might have gotten high. But all right, back to Dwight. So this is where you really get to see that he's a volunteer sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
And he wears his outfit. But then back to what we originally said way back in the beginning, the hair that you see without him like trying to comb it over or do anything under that hat that he's wearing is ridiculous. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I think Office Ladies even talked about it on that episode. They covered it where he was like obsessed with like trying to get it to be as bad as he could possibly get it. Rainn Wilson.
Oh yeah.
And have the worst hat hair,
cute costume, Dwight. Thanks, girl.
Thanks, girl.
one of my favorite Dwight quotes from the episode: it has to be official and it has to be urine.
Well, this just shows how dense like Dwight is. Like he
I just think of his conversation with the chick from the urinalysis lab.
He has this idea of what authority is. So he walks in in full regalia of this cop outfit, volunteer sheriff's outfit. But he doesn't understand that authority comes from knowledge or understanding. Yeah. And so he doesn't know anything about the drugs he's talking about. He doesn't know anything about the people he's talking to. He doesn't know anything other than the fact that he's supposed to, quote unquote, interrogate people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What is this a picture of? Marijuana.
Marijuana.
How do you know that? It's labeled.
It's labeled. Damn it. What is this a picture of? Northern Lights Indica.
Cannabis Indica.
Cannabis Indica.
It's marijuana.
It's marijuana.
No. And so he rules Creed. So like he has no idea.
Yep.
But his idea of authority.
Jim and Dwight moment.
Oh my God. Yeah. And Jim turns the tables on him. He has no self-assurance.
Yeah. No.
No.
In this.
No actual confidence.
God, it's so funny, dude.
Yeah.
Like how like Dwight should be the manipulator, but he is the one who is manipulated.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
When we walked in here, you said, I would be conducting this interview. Now, how much pot did you smoke?
The look on his face is perfect.
The urinalysis lab lady that he talks to, he's like, you may remember testing some of my urine from a few years ago. We test a lot of urine. Mine was green. Or whatever color.
Oh.
Yeah.
Green. How are you?
I'm better now.
I'm better now. I'm all better. I'm all better. All right. Real quick, can we jump back? I think I missed another good one.
Hey, and what you got?
It's take your daughter to work day.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we kind of skipped over it.
And you're the future. And the
reason with Meredith's shit.
Yeah, you're the future. Yeah, with Mr. Poop.
Oh god.
Mr. Snoot. Yep. but that when he, first of all, you learn that Dwight can play the guitar.
Yeah.
In that episode. True. So he does have a musical talent.
Yep.
And
several, he plays the recorder too.
And you start to learn early on from that episode a little bit about Dwight's past, with the, like, we're gonna make the, what is it, the straw dolls,
corn husk dolls,
the corn husk dolls,
corn husk, yes.
Yeah. But
we wants to hear stories from your Nazi war criminal grandmother.
But specifically, it's Mr. Poop and the Mr. Snoot.
Yep.
And that made me have to know, what are all of Dwight's nicknames throughout the series?
Let's end it on this.
I was able to find a list. So
please,
from the top, D Money, Dwayne Possum, Mr. Poop, Mr. Snoot, Possum. Dwight Fart Schrute, Jackhammer, Gun Safety Dwight, Big City Recyclops, Michael Scotch, Samuel L. Chang, Bobblehead Joe, Dwight Danger Schrute, Dunder Mifflin, Head Salesman, Assistant to the Regional Manager, Manager, DKS, Monkey Trainer, D Dub Dog, Shrewberry Blue, Dwigged, DK Schrute, Dragon, Computron, That Other Jackass, Dwight Shelford, and Jacques Souvenir.
Jacques Souvenir.
Dude, that is amazing.
That's fucking incredible.
Holy crap.
I love it.
I love that so much.
Oh, dude, that's amazing. Oh, shit, that's funny.
So I don't know if you caught the monkey trainer.
Do you
remember that?
Like,
do you remember that?
No, I heard it, but I don't remember it.
So that was from a deleted scene.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's in reference to something in his, it's in reference to, I think, his name on Second Life or something.
Oh, my
where God. His like handle on a video game. I'm sorry. They're playing a game or whatever, and it's a quick shot at his computer. I'll figure out the episode.
We'll
talk about it in a future episode. But it's a quick shot to his computer, and his handle is Monkey Trainer, and he calls Angela Monkey.
I was just gonna say,
oh shit,
he calls Angela Monkey.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's another Monkey one. Trainer. Yep.
Yes.
That's another one.
Oh my god.
I really want to do that so episode good. Now where we go through and
we have to do the Angela Dwight timeline of when their relationship started and start from the end and go to the beginning.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, we need that to happen. I guess you know what, the season finale of season 2 was Casino Night, and the only other thing that I can think of that may have been worth to maybe reference is conflict resolution, since there is a big moment of Dwight and Jim in that,
where they're listing off the pranks,
all of his pranks.
Yeah.
But I think we've kind of covered that, right?
Yeah, we talked about it a lot in depth during the prank episode.
You guys should go back and listen to our pranks episode, because I think you'll get a decent amount of what that episode really entails, and how much Jim really just goes in on Dwight, and how much Dwight really deals with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how much he's put up with it only because of the placebo of handing Toby a written, like, complaint.
Yes, so, that's going to the special file in New York.
Correct. Correct. So, yeah. I think that would be a worthwhile thing for folks to, like, jump back to. Is that conflict resolution and that pranks episode.
Yep,
so,
agreed.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that's a pretty solid place to cap it off for Dwight season 1 and 2.
Yeah, I agree. What are we hitting next week?
Well, I know next week we got to do Ryan part 1. I feel like we're starting this. We've started with Dwight. We need to complete the love triangle, the bromance triangle that we talked about this episode.
100%.
So why don't we just go ahead and do it? We're going to do Ryan part one, which is probably like episode, like seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah, before he gets promoted.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Like before he goes full corporate bro.
Yeah.
Before he fake goes to Thailand, before he dyes his hair, before he works in the bowling alley, you know, back when he was just a normie.
Yeah, when we liked him.
Yeah.
I think after that we've decided we might as well complete the triangle, the love triangle.
Yes.
We're going to hit Michael again, guys. We had part 1 in season 1. We're going to hit seasons 2 and 3 in Michael part 2. So we're going to really dive in and just really find that for us. And
I think we're calling these the Scott Chronicles.
The Scott Chronicles. Chronicles. And you know what? Beyond that, guys, I think we got to start diving into these winding tales of things like Dwight and Angela, and some of these character arcs that we're starting to build on. So
for sure,
absolutely. Well, thank you guys again for joining us this week on Scotch and Splenda. Please get at us on social media. You can find us anywhere on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's at Scotch Splenda.
If you'd prefer to email us, we've got our email, which is scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, no ampersand, no plus, any of that. scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. Or call us in, leave us a voicemail. That's probably our favorite. Leave us one of those so that we can play your voice on air. We would love to hear you. The people who listen would love to hear you. And we say it every week. It goes straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. And that number is 319-359-7977. 319-359-7977. Leave us that voicemail.
Perfect. Guys, you can find me anywhere on social media. It's AJAYVENS, AJ Vens, anywhere on social media.
And you can find me, BJ, at I Am The Beach. That's Beach, B-E-E-J, on TikTok and Instagram.
You will find me in most places at Nick Morella. That's NickMerulla. Twitch is probably where you'll see me the most, but you can find me if you dig the whiskey stuff, the beer stuff. You'll find me at Morella Nick on Instagram.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much again for joining us. And until next time, we will catch you on the flippity flip.
The flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye. Bye.